welcome you all to Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. We're your hosts, Brian Vinson, William Tinkup, and Nisha, coming to you live every day with our wonderful guests. Well, today my partners in crime are not available, Brian Vinson and William Tinkup, so I'm doing the solo. We have a wonderful guest, Johanna Rothman. Hey, Johanna, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much. I'm so delighted to be here.
Well, we are so glad. We are honored to have you. It's a first time on the show at Drive Through HR. A very warm welcome.
Well, thank you.
Cool. So do our audience a favor. Please introduce yourself, and then we'll talk about, you know, what's keeping you up at night these days.
So I'm a management consultant, and I'm very into how do you get work done in technical organizations. So I was going to say I focus on everything, and that's actually not true, because how can you focus on everything? My primary focus is on project and program and anything to do about management in technical organizations. And because I'm into the management area, I want to help managers figure out how do we hire people, how do we get projects organized, how do we get the project portfolio organized, and all of this comes back to how do you get great people in the organization, how do you get them in the right jobs, how do you make sure that the projects are staffed with the right people at the right level so that you can get teams that know how to work together. And I have actually been doing this for a very long time. I had a hiring book out back in 2004, and I've done a major rewrite of it, and it's now called Hiring Geeks That Fit, and it's out. It's out in electronic form. The print book will be out in about a month, given depending on what happens with the proof when I finally get the proof. So,
that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your book, Hiring Geeks That Fit.
So what became clear to me is that I was doing this instinctively, but I was looking for people that fit the culture of the team and the manager. When I was doing hiring, when I was inside the organization as a software development manager, as a software testing manager, as a project and program manager, and I hadn't really addressed that in the first edition of the book. But in this version of the book, this is where I really said, okay, lay it out on the line, Johanna. These people really need to know about culture. And you know about Agile, right? Agile has taken over the software development world. And anyone who's doing anything with software in their organizations has at least run into the term Agile. People are talking about Agile, whether or not they're really doing it. Well, once you hit Agile, it's all about cultural fit. And you really need to understand what is the culture of the team that we are working with. And because whether or not you're really doing Agile, people are saying that they're doing Agile. So you have to understand, what is the culture of the team that I'm working with? Agile promotes a culture of transparency. Now, whether or not you really have a culture of transparency, you at least have to say, what is the culture of the team I'm working with? And especially if you're a recruiter, how do we understand that so we can hire people who have a chance of working with this team? And that's what I decided to do in this book. How do we identify the culture? How do we look for people who would fit with the culture? How do we ask them questions starting in the phone screen and working through the interview and verifying with the references that they will fit with this culture, because it is so expensive to have a bad hire, right? You know that.
Yeah.
It's just horribly expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this sounds interesting. And so let's talk about your clients. What's keeping them up at night, especially, like if we need to hire a tremendous number of employees for a technical staff members, we need to have third-party recruiters. So a lot of organizations might be using these third-party recruiters or consulting fees in order to hire bulk number of employees or technical employees. So do they really check the culture for their client organization, or what are you hearing from your clients in terms of hiring gigs that fit for their client organization?
So I hear two different things. The people who read my book say, oh, I had no idea. I don't have to start with a laundry list of technical skills. And the people, I had this conversation on Twitter just the other day. And the people who don't read my book say, no, we need technical skills. And it's just so funny. I mean, right, you've seen that too. And what's so funny about this is that, you know, if you don't do the analysis of, has this person actually worked out in the organization, right, if you don't actually look back at the success of your hires over time, if you don't track that, and you would have to work with the hiring manager to track that, then you don't actually have the data. So, and this is something that whether or not people are technical, not everyone actually uses measurements in a reasonable way to track the success of employees. First of all, we don't actually know how to track the success of employees. The only real way to do this is with qualitative data, with one-on-ones, with a hiring manager, right? That's how you track success. You can't start this business of ranking people. That's just, plain stupid. I know. Tell me how you really feel, Johanna. But you can't rank people in an organization. Everyone is unique. What you can do is have one-on-ones with employees every single week or every other week, build a trusting relationship with the manager, and then say to people, are you working out in the organization? You can have team members say, is this entire team working in the organization? Because it's not about one person. It's about, does this team gel? Does this team create a great product? And that's what you really want. Software is about design. Software is about learning. So when you start thinking about how do I hire this person or hire that person, does this person make the entire team better? And experimenting, you can't go back in time and say, well, if I'd hired that other person, would this team be better? That's a great thought experiment, but it doesn't get you anything. So you have to say, does this team produce a great product? Does this team have enough diversity on it? I saw something the other day, I wish I could remember, that all teams, maybe it was Jeff Sutherland who said, maybe all teams should have a woman on it because teams that have women create diversity. And, well, that's one way to create diversity. There are other ways to create diversity on a team, even if you don't have women. But you need to understand that the best products come from diverse teams. And if you're a hiring manager, the best thing you can do is say, how do I create a team that has personality diversity, that has experience diversity, that has enough diversity so we can create a great product. That's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
How do I, yeah, go ahead. Ask a question.
No. You go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you.
Well, I can just go on. So I'm really passionate about this because the hiring feeds into the product development, right? And successful product development is what I'm all about. It doesn't matter if you're an IT organization, an R&D organization, a product development organization. It just doesn't matter. All I care about is that you look at your culture and you say, what kind of pieces are we missing? And then you look for those pieces in whatever humans you're trying to hire. And that means you're not looking just for technical skills. Technical skills are important. But if you just look for, 3 years of Ruby or 6 years of Unix, you're going to miss out on the human that allows you to create a great product. And that's the piece that holds the team together that allows you to create a great product.
Cool. So talking about that diversity aspect, I'm one among, I have a lot of friends and every one of them are IT professionals. So every day I can hear their daily day at work and their relationship with their project managers. And especially if we see the IT workers community, a lot of them are from India, from Asia, and Europe. So we have a lot of diverse, cultural diversity at this workplace. So when we talk about, as you said, identify the culture of the team. So for the hiring person, they might not necessarily know the culture of the team, right? So what's your advice for them in order to have somebody, probably a project manager, coming to the interview or so? I don't know. Probably you can discuss a little more about how to identify the culture of that team and how to help this hiring manager to identify that and to hire for a best fit.
So there are three components of culture. The first is what we can discuss. The second is how we treat each other. And the third is what gets rewarded, right? There's Hofstede's five dimensions of culture, which is a more nuanced view of culture. And especially when you talk about people all over the world, that's a really a fascinating view of culture. But when you talk about a team, you have to think about those three pieces, because the team says, here's how we discuss things. When we talk about how we review each other's code or how we review each other's tests, do we even talk about review? Is that something that we discuss? What about being on time for meetings? Do we penalize each other for not being on time for meetings? That's part of how we treat each other. Do we have working agreements? That's part of how we treat each other. Now, what gets rewarded? And now, a lot of the reward stuff comes from management. But we actually have, we as a team can certainly influence part of that. And if we influence part of that, if we reward each other for how we take on work or how we estimate work, right? And especially if you're an agile team, we might have a lot of things to say about that. But if our management comes in and says, we're going to reward you for our individual work, but then you're supposed to work as a self-organizing team, that gets a little dicey. So if you understand that about your team, then that helps certainly the hiring manager, but it helps the recruiter understand what kinds of people to look for. So if you have someone who wants to sit alone and write code all day by him or herself, That's not going to work with a team where constructive dialogue is the way they make decisions, right? I bet you've been a part of a team where they say, let's get together for 20 minutes and hash this out. Now, there might not be a lot of teams like that, but there are certainly some teams like that. And I have been a part of teams where there was an architect with a capital A who made all the decisions. I don't deal well with teams like that. I have a brain, thank you very much. I am capable of making many decisions on my own, especially if I'm implementing feature by feature by feature. I can make architectural decisions on my own, especially if the team has decided we are going to do test-driven development or we're going to do reviews of the code. So how we work as software people, right, and how we make decisions is a big part of the culture of the team. So having a hierarchical team, that doesn't work for me at all. I was never a part of a culture. Well, I think I interviewed once in a place like that when I was a developer, and I said no, thank you, when they wanted to hire me, because I would never have fit the culture. But mm-hmm. Some people really like being told what to do, not me. And we go on from there, right? So if you think about what gets discussed, what gets rewarded, and how we treat each other as the three components of culture, then you have a really good idea of the kinds of people you want to look for and how they might or might not fit.
Cool. Let me do a quick reset, everybody. We are talking with our wonderful guest, Johanna Rothman, all about hiring geeks that fit. So, Johanna, I have this question that came from an HR professional. She is an IT recruiter, and she reads all blogs and everything. So she really likes, you know, how to hire for the cultural fit and all that aspect. But she is getting pressurized from her company to look more into the competencies. Because when we look at hiring an IT professional or a skill-based staff, I guess a lot of employers are getting wrong in terms of valuing whether culture or competencies are important or which or weighing both. So what's your take on where do employers get wrong in terms of hiring a right fit?
So you can't ignore the technical skills, but what I'm saying is, if you overweigh the technical skills and you only look at technical skills, you will find people that do not fit the team. So here's what I like to do. I have some templates on my website. If you go to jrothman.com, that's JROTHMAN.com, and on the About page, there's templates. They're free. There's a job analysis template. And on the first six questions or something, they ask you who people work with and the level and all that stuff. They ask you a whole bunch of questions about essential non-technical skills. If you start with the essential non-technical skills, the essential qualities, preferences, and non-technical skills, that's where you start to really look at the cultural fit of the candidates. So do you need someone who can mentor people? Do you need someone who can be on time? Do you need someone who can, I hate to ask this, multitask? Because I think multitasking is one of the cardinal sins in the organization. But if this is what your organization wants, then this is what you need to provide. Do you need someone who can do mostly support work and a little bit of development work because you have a lot of firefighting? Those are the essential technical skills that you need to look for. And once you understand the essential skills, then you can look for those in a candidate and add the 3 years of Rails and the X years of some other operating system or whatever it is that you want, because the essential qualities, preferences, and non-technical skills, and there are only a few of them, think three or four of them, and then the rest are desirable, plus the essential technical skills, right? Unix or iOS or Rails or C++ or, God forbid, COBOL, right? Whatever they are. Those will make up the bulk of your technical skills in the job description. You cannot ignore technical skills, but you have to temper them with the other qualities, preferences, and non-technical skills, because otherwise you end up with a laundry list or a shopping list of technical skills. And when you have those, all you do is ask everyone in the world to apply for your job. You are not asking anyone to filter themselves out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another aspect is, like, especially when we talked about agile workforce or that kind of an environment, most of our IT candidates, they're getting an approach from the recruiter saying, hey, you might want to work here for 8 hours. Or, you know, put extra time for finishing this project. It's going to be so much stressful job, or it's going to be, they're picturizing it like that. It's going to be a tough task, but you need to put your extra time into that. But still, yet, we all understand that probably the IT field or the skill-based industry is a little kind of a stressful job. So it would take the managers or project managers' skills in terms of when we talk about the success of that employees in order to have them here for a longer period of time. So it's all about a manager's skill in order to engage and create a great environment to encourage their employees and team members to have a tremendous support in terms of during this stressful time. So do you think employers should train their project managers in order to provide that kind of an environment to their team members?
Oh, yeah. I really think that project managers need a whole lot of training to understand that asking people to work overtime is the worst possible thing for a project. In Manage It, Your Guide to Modern Pragmatic Project Management, my project management book, I say that if you have a project in trouble, the best thing to do is to tell people to work only 40 hours a week. That is the absolute best thing that you can do, because then people will go home and take care of themselves. A person who has slept enough during the night before will not make stupid mistakes. So, and yes, you still have a time of stress, but the best thing you can do is actually have people only working 40 hours a week during the week. When you have knowledge workers, you want people who have actually thought during the day. You don't want tired people. And this is something that project managers don't always understand. This is something that managers don't always understand. It's a huge problem in our industry. So, hiring managers need training in how to manage projects, and so do project managers. They need training in understanding how to hire, because they don't always understand what to look for. They think that people who will work many hours are the right thing, but it's not the right thing. You need people who are able to manage the stress of the job and say, what do I need to do first, second, and third? That's the right thing, right? People who are able to understand their personal project portfolio, rank the work, and then do the most important thing. If you have people who understand how to break work down into smaller tasks, those are the people you need to hire. So it's actually a very different set of skills than what the project managers or the hiring manager think that they need to look for. It's a problem. It really is. You've actually hit the nail on the head.
Interesting. So for our listeners, those who are listening live, and for our archive listeners, if you can talk a little bit about, from your book, probably how to develop a hiring strategy for knowledge-based worker and for skill-based workers. Do you see any kind of a difference in terms of these two? If so, how to develop that hiring strategy?
So what I see for a hiring strategy is, first, understand the problem that you're trying to solve. If you download a sample of Hiring Geeks That Fit, the hiring strategy is in the free sample. So that whole chapter is in the sample. Look at what problem or problems you're trying to solve. Do you have a tactical problem that you just need to solve right now? Maybe you can get away with just hiring people right away, but almost always you have a problem that needs to be addressed with cultural fit. And if you have a problem with cultural fit, you need to really think about the problem or problems you need to solve. So think about, how will this person, how will this candidate fit into the team? How will I create a space for this person in the team? Or do I just need a pile of candidates and I can just take them, right? I want to just think about candidates, because the skills are interchangeable. We have almost no fungible, interchangeable people with knowledge-based people. Knowledge-based people are not interchangeable. They have to adapt their skills to the problem at hand. Skills-based people are almost always interchangeable, and that's the big difference. So if you don't have interchangeable people, then you really have to think about, how do I select the right person to kind of fit seamlessly into this team? This is a non-trivial problem. That does not mean that you're looking for a needle in a haystack, but it does mean you have to apply this problem of cultural fit, not just technical skill fit, because a skill-based staff person means you could just look for technical skill. But a cultural fit person means you have to apply the problem of cultural fit, not just technical skill fit.
Interesting. So we have about 1 minute left. Well, Johanna, thank you so much for being here and sharing your insights about how to hire geeks that fit. Well, I would appreciate if you can share, how can people connect with you and where can they find more information about your books?
Well, thank you. They can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Johanna Rothman. They can certainly go to my website, www.jrothman.com. The information about Hiring Geeks That Fit is there. You can find it on Amazon. It's in Kindle right now. It's also on pragprog.com, and it's available on LeanPub, LeanPub.com, where you can decide the price. There's a minimum, and aside from that, you can always pay more. So thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. So everybody, we will talk to you all tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.